Good to see you guys all here. My name is Dan. I'm a staff at Cornerstone. If you're visiting, I'd like to tell you that we're going through our Advent series. And Advent simply means the arrival. And of course, we are anticipating the arrival of Jesus as you go through Advent this season. And so today is the fourth and last of our Advent series. Thank you. I got this one. Fourth and last sermon of our Advent series, and it's called Love All, and that's what we're going to talk about. So, going to a very famous, popular passage in the Bible about love, 1 Corinthians 13. That's where we'll read from. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Yeah, love all. Love all. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. In verse 13, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Let me pray for us again. Heavenly Father, we want to give you this time for these next 20, 30 minutes. Holy Spirit, we pray that it would be a word that comes from you, a word that is of God, that is not of man. God, would you fill your vessel now? And anything that I say, would it be completely of you? So God, would this word fall on fertile soil? And would it do a work that bears a fruit of a thousandfold? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, okay, so this is a famous passage. We've all heard it before many times, probably. A lot of times you probably hear it at weddings and things. And it's actually not completely inappropriate. I mean, obviously, it's about love, and you can't really have a much better picture of love. But if this was Paul, and he was actually observing it being read at a wedding, I think he'd be a little confused, because the tone of what Paul is saying is not the tone of a wedding, actually. If you look at the chapters before this, he's talking to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church is having a tough time. Okay, and so before we get into this, I want to just give you a little background on the Corinthian church. But Corinth is in the middle of Greece, and so you can see over right there, little star. That's where Corinth is. Okay, so give you a closer look. Corinth is right there, and this was later built, but a canal through Corinth. And so where Corinth is located, it's heavily there's a lot of traffic. And so Corinth was a booming town where everybody had to go through. If you want to go to the top, you went through Corinth. If you want to go to the bottom, you went through Corinth. If you were a boat and you could either go around all the way or around all the way or go through Corinth. And so there was a lot of travel through Corinth, a lot of marketing, a lot of people coming to make it big. And so that's what Corinth was. It was a place that people came to make money, to be successful, and to make something of themselves. It didn't have a native people. It was a collection of people. Kind of like America, right? Except for Native Americans. But what Native America has become, in the sense, right? A kind of a collection, this melting pot of people, right? And the thing about what happened in Corinth is that as it was developing in that way, it became money-driven, power-driven, one of the most sex-obsessed cities in the world, and extremely corrupt. It was New York City. That's what it became. Okay? And so they actually had a mountaintop, and which god was it? Athena, I want to say. But at the mountaintop, they had like their temple, and every night, 100 prostitutes would come down to sell themselves in the name of this god. And so it became a really messed up type of place. And even a word came out of this place called to Corinthianize. It was such a bad place that a word came out of it in order to describe what it was. And to Corinthianize just meant to live in utter moral depravity. That's all it meant. And so a word came out of it. And that's what Corinth was. And Paul said, I'm going to plant a church right in New York City, in Corinth. And if people can be saved in Corinth, people can be saved anywhere. But along with all these talented people coming to make it big, comes a lot of problems, right? So what we have in this church, as we read on, if you read through the first verse, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So you can look at chapter 12, and he's talking about all these gifts and things going on. In chapter 14, he does this as well. But one of the things going on in Corinth is that there are people moving in these supernatural gifts, tongues, prophecy, there's probably healing, and different supernatural power type of gifts going on. And what does he say? If I don't have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And that language, a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, it's what people, religious people, did to make noise and grab attention from the gods. They would just gong, gong. They made a lot of noise for the sake of trying to get attention and get noticed by the god they're trying to worship. But if you don't have love, God says, Paul writes, you're just noise. So we have supernatural gifts going on. In verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can... He goes on, prophecy and being more supernatural stuff, but can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. So people who have a deep understanding, they probably have some really good counselors, therapists of the type, people who understood people, had deep knowledge and understanding. And this language of faith that can move mountains, a faith that can change a city, people who are visionaries and looking for big things to change the world. I can be someone who has immense leadership skills, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, then I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And he's talking about extreme people who are living for religious reasons and going so far as to give everything they have to the poor, just like something that Jesus said, everything they have to the poor. And they're even going through physical hardship, suffering, their bodies are hurting. But I don't have love. It's all worthless. So that's what we have in Corinth. The church of Corinth was an extremely successful people. They did a lot of great things. And this message is a message of rebuke. That's why it doesn't quite, the tone doesn't fit at a wedding. The message, the content's good. But the tone of what Paul was writing, I think Paul would watch the wedding and be kind of like, it's not what I meant it for, but I guess it works. If Paul was reading this out loud, he'd have this fire to it. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I don't have love, I'm a gong. You can move mountains, you can have prophecy, you can fathom all things, but if you don't have love, you're worthless. But people don't read in that tone at weddings, right? But that's the tone that Paul is speaking in. It's a message of rebuke to a church and to leaders who are immensely successful in their ministry, but they don't have love. On the surface, they're reaching the city. On the surface, they're giving their stuff to the poor. They're giving all they have to the poor. On the surface, they're speaking prophetic words. They're praying in tongues. But underneath, they don't even like each other. Underneath, there's gossip. There's insecurity. There's backstabbing. If you read the chapters before, there's unfaithfulness in marriage. There's within marriage, people... spouses depriving each other of love. There's people suing each other in the church. in the midst of prophetic words, in the midst of faith to move mountains, there's no love. And so these first three verses are a powerful word to the church today, and particularly to leaders in our churches. You can be an amazing leader at church. You know, speakers could be amazing speakers. I can give a word that rocks every person in this place. But if I don't have love, God can use me for something, but that doesn't mean anything about my personal transformed heart with God. Worship leader could lead an amazing worship, and you're in tears and sobbing because you encountered God. That doesn't say anything about the worship leader in itself. Prayer ministry. You can speak prophetic words. You can speak truth into somebody. Things that you never knew. God gave you that word. But if you don't have love, it doesn't mean anything. God just used you. You could be the best welcomer in the place. Every person you meet says, "Wow, you make me happy every time I see you." Doesn't mean anything in itself as far as your own heart with God. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. And the danger for us as church leaders, as people in church who do ministry, is that we start to think that we're safe because we have some success in our ministry. We start to think God is in my life because I'm doing things in the name of God. But you can look in the Bible, and that doesn't really mean anything. God can use anybody. If you look in the Old Testament, there's a story about Balaam, who's actually going against God, running from God, trying to hurt the things of God, and God gives him a prophetic word, and he uses him. Saul never gave his heart to God. God gave him prophetic words, and he used him. Judas never had a transformed heart for God. But what does the Bible say about the disciples? It says they cast out demons and they healed the sick in the name of Jesus. Judas was doing these things too. Never had a transformed heart for God. That's why in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about at the gates of heaven, people will come to him and say, "Jesus, let us in." And Jesus says, "Who are you?" And they say, "What do you mean, who are we? We healed the sick in your name. We delivered people from demons in your name." Jesus says, "Away from me, you evildoers. I do not know you." Just because you have success in ministry, just because you're something in church, that doesn't say anything about your transformed heart for God, which in the end, a heart that knows how to love because of God, without that, it's all nothing. In a strange way, some of us who don't do a whole lot at church because we don't think we're that talented, and that's how we see ourselves, we're doing the same thing too. We're trying to make something dependent upon my success of ministry and what I'm able to do. And we're making it feel like, oh, God doesn't see me because I'm not successful at church. But don't do that on the other end either. The success of God's people is a heart of love. And that's something that everyone's capable of. We could have great speakers, but I'll never be as good as some people. I have a ceiling. We could have great worship leaders, but they'll never be as good as some worship leaders. We could have great welcomers, great prayer ministry, but there will always be somebody who tops that. There's a ceiling for all our abilities and things that we do. But for a transformed heart, there's no ceiling for the way that we can love, show grace, have joy and peace in our lives. There is no ceiling for that. Fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against those things, there is no law, no restriction. And that's what a Christian is. And so Paul writes about this, and he's rebuking the church. You're doing all these things, but you don't have love, and it's worthless. And then he starts to talk about love. We pick up in verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind. And he does it in a peculiar way. Notice that he doesn't say, if you don't have love, you're nothing. Therefore, go and be kind. Go and be patient. Don't boast. He doesn't say that you're worthless without love and then just say all the things you have to do. But he does it in a strange way, and he personifies love. He turns love into like an agent, a person. And he says love is kind. Love is patient. Why does he do that? Why does he turn it into a person? There's two points that I want to make here. One is that you can't just go out and do love. You can't just go out and just make yourself love people. To love people, to love, you have to encounter love. You have to experience it. And, you know, it's not a super spiritual thing, that statement right there. It's just, I mean, they do research on babies, right? Research and even experiments on babies. And you do these experiments where parents who are not showing love to their babies, the babies don't know how to show love either. And when you show love to a baby, you cuckoo, cuckoo, hey, peekaboo, and you're like, hey, you love them, oh, you're so cute, whatever. You know, show affection and love to the baby. Then the baby's able to know love and to express love. And so we see that in babies, and as people grow up, it manifests in different ways. And for some people, it's much easier to love just because they've experienced love. And that's all this is saying. That's one of the things that Paul is saying. So he goes on. Love is patient. He turns into a person. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs. You know what also makes it hard to love? I remember I was driving and I was late because there was two car accidents on the way. I was trying to, so I picked up a few hours. I work at the bank as well. And so I was going driving to the bank and there was two traffic accidents on the way. And so I ended up being about 30 minutes late. And so of course, like I'm just stuck in traffic. And I'm upset, right? Like, what is going on? I hope it's construction. I hate construction. And then I drive by the accidents. I'm like, ugh, are you serious? I'm a little curious what happened, though. And I'm a little curious what's going on. But then I'm like, ugh, like, could you have been in an accident in a better time? And I was driving. I was like, man, like, he's probably having a worse day than me, though. Like, I'm late to work, but he's late to work too. He's got to deal with insurance. He's got to, hopefully nobody's hurt. But in the moment, it's about me. In the moment, it's about me and what I want, what I need, my comforts. And this person has disrupted my comfort. And in my selfishness, I'm just thinking about me. I have a friend who, his mom had to go through surgery, right? Surgery, and pretty significant surgery. She was there for, it wasn't just a short thing. And then she was supposed to come home and stay home for like a week to heal. But when she gets home, the dad's complaining, I'm working, I'm going to work, and what are you doing? You're doing nothing. You stay home. You stayed at the hospital, now you're staying home. And so instead of resting for that week by doctor's orders, she goes into work, bleeding where the stitches are. It's a bit more of a heavier example, but that's what we do. In small degrees, in big degrees, we make it about us and our selfishness. But love is self-sacrificing. And you cannot give self-sacrificing love unless you've experienced self-sacrificing love. You cannot give love that is all these things. As Paul speaks of a person, turns love into a person, it's actually kind of discouraging if you leave it at that. Have you ever had that person that overshadows you in everything? And you're not looking at the person and just inspired. You're just discouraged because you feel like, I'll never measure up to that person. And if you talk about a person who is perfect in their love, and you just lay that out there, that's what I should be. That's just discouraging because we cannot do that. But if you know anything about Paul, this isn't an abstract for him. He is thinking about a person. When Paul says, love is patient and love is kind. That word patient there, and some translations actually have it written as long suffering, but if you break it down, it's suffering at lengths. That's what it is. That's what we translate as patient. But love will go and suffer at lengths. And Paul's thinking about Jesus, who in his moment of anguish, it was suffering to the point of, my God, why have you forsaken me? To be separated from God and the suffering of that separation from God. When Paul says in verse 5 that love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. He remembers Jesus. When in the moment of anguish and the very people he's trying to love, he's not angry at them. And he utters the words, God, forgive them. They do not know what they do. He keeps no record of wrongs. Paul talks about love. It always protects. It always hopes. It always perseveres. It's in verse 7. He thinks about Jesus, who even in the moment of suffering, he looks to his side and sees the criminal. And he protects him and says, you will be with me in paradise. And when Paul writes that love always perseveres, Jesus on the cross, he says it is finished. He went through every length that it took to love the ones that he called his own. And he finished it. It endured till the end. This is love. And this Christmas season, this is what we remember. As people who go to church, we can do great things in church. And you can be an awesome servant of God in the prayer ministry, in worship, in leadership team, in whatever it is, as a pastor, as a college student leader, as a young adult core member. You can do great things in this church, and we can even give you an amazing praise and think that you're amazing. And I can think, God must be in your life. But do you have love? In this church, are you loving people? At home, are you loving your family? You can fool the church, but do you fool your family? Maybe you're not at home, but the people you live with, your roommates, do you fool them? What do they have to say? Are you a person of love? There. And if you're married, you cannot hide from your spouse. What would your spouse say about you? That you put on a good show at church? That you have everyone fooled? Or that you're a person of love? Because without love, it's nothing. So I want to read Corinthians one more time. In the tone of Paul. But before I do that, Alex posted up this thing called Advent Challenge, and I guess I'll call this an Advent Challenge too. Sorry, I haven't done my song yet, Alex. Are you there? I haven't done my song yet. But my challenge is this. You know, our theme for today is love all. But as you walk out of here, that might be a little overwhelming to try to love every single person. But here's my challenge. Love one. Find somebody that could use some love. Maybe you're directly and personally inconvenienced by this person, and you need to love them. Maybe it's just somebody that you know is going through a hard time, and you want to show them love. Could be someone in your family, could be someone in this church, could be someone you know well, someone you don't know well. You know what I was thinking? You know, we talk about cliques a lot, social cliques, and how we like to have fun with the same group of people. I think we have blessing cliques sometimes. We only bless the people we like to bless. I don't really know this one person, so I can't, oh, and they're off my territory. But you know, if you're in this church, you can bless everybody. So don't feel shy about each other. But let's love this season. And remember Jesus. That's what he came for. This is Jesus. Jesus never fails. Everything will pass away. Everything of our church work will pass away. But our character and our love, that will endure. So we'll read this one more time. So Paul speaks to the Corinthian church. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I don't have love, I'm noise. I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It is not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It does not keep a record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil. It rejoices in the truth. It always protects. Love always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love, it never fails. Where there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it's going to all pass away. But in the end, these three remain. Faith. There's faith, and there's hope, and there's love. That's what it all comes down to. And still, the greatest of these is love. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would be a church that doesn't put on a show. That isn't just good at what we do. And like this Corinthian church, we have talented people here, God. People of education. People with abilities and brain power and things that people who will do things that we don't even know yet. But we don't boast in those things because those things are nothing. And what we boast in, if anything, is in Christ. So Lord, as we look at our lives, will we not look to our accomplishments for anything as our measure of who we are to you? But will we look for a heart of love, God? Jesus, we thank you that you were born into this world and that you would be loving, that you would be long-suffering, that you would be patient with us, that you would keep no record of wrongs for us, and that you would endure to the end. Encounter us, God. Help us to experience that love, to know it, God, and that we would be a people who know how to love all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.